6:04 PM on April 29th, 2026. At this time, it's okay. A little closer, oh, okay, thank you, thank you. I would like to ask Kathy Moffett to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Everyone, please stand, put your hand over your heart and say along with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Melanie, will you please take a roll call to determine if a quorum is met?
Certainly. Chair Susie Swartz?
Here.
Vice Chair David Johnson?
Here.
Member Sheila Benneke is absent. Member Lauren Brooks?
Here.
Member Marilyn Bucci?
Here.
Member Paulette Chafee?
Here.
Member Jackie Philbeck?
Here.
Member Karen Freeman is absent. Member Kathleen Hurd? She's absent. Member Kathy Moffett?
Here.
Member Randy Rita?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Always good news. All committee members have received a copy of today's agenda. Are there any additions or changes to the agenda as presented? Okay. As there are no additions or changes, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. Second.
As Paulette and Lauren?
Lauren.
We get that.
Paulette and Lauren?
Paulette and Lauren.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Unanimous. Motion carries. All committee members have also received a copy of the minutes from the county committee meeting held on February 18, 2026. Are there any additions or changes to the minutes as presented? Okay. May I please then have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move approval. Second.
Marilyn and Catherine? Marilyn and Catherine? Good.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Anybody abstaining? Okay, the motion carries. This moves us to public comments for items on the agenda. At today's meeting, members of the public will have several opportunities to address the county committee. First, under this agenda item 6, we will start with public comments related to specific items on the agenda. If you wish to speak regarding the La Habra City School District proposal to adopt bi-trustee area elections, please do so during the public hearing under agenda item 7B. Also, at the end of the meeting, under agenda item 8, there is an opportunity for public comment on matters not listed on the agenda. If any members of the public would like to speak at today's meeting, please complete a public comment card and submit it to OCDE staff member Melanie McLean, right there. Please indicate the applicable agenda item number on your card. Do we have any cards to be collected?
We do not have any cards.
Okay, so we have no one present who wishes to speak at today's meeting under agenda item 6. So we will go to agenda item 7. I would like to say, as a reminder, at regular board meetings, county committee members may not engage in discussion nor take action on any item not on the agenda. Speakers will be called in the order that comment cards are received. Okay, we don't have to worry about that. So item number 7, proposal by the Board of Education of the La Habra City School District adopting a trustee area map and initiating a proposal to the Orange County Committee on School District Organization to adopt by trustee area elections. their resolution number 14-2025. At this time, I would like to invite Mr. Howard Marinet, Secretary of the Orange County Committee on School District Organization, to present the County Committee staff report.
Thank you. This evening's item is a proposal from the La Habra City School District received by the County Committee on February 18th, 2026. Currently, members of La Habra City School District Board of Education are elected at large. The district is requesting approval to establish 5 trustee areas and to transition to bi-trustee area method of election. Under this method, each board member must reside in the trustee area they represent and is elected only by voters in that area. On October 9th, 2025, the district's Board of Education unanimously adopted a resolution number 14-2025. That resolution recommended map scenario number 2 and requested the County Committee approval of the trustee areas and the transition to bi-trustee area elections. The proposed election sequence would place areas trustee areas 2, 3, and 4 on the ballot in November 2026, with the trustee area 1 and 5 scheduled for November 2028. The district has indicated that the transition is being undertaken in the furtherance of the proposed process of the California Voting Rights Act. Apologize for that. OCD staff prepared a report to assist the county committee in the review and deliberation. Each committee member received a copy of the report in the agenda packet. The report also posted with the agenda on the county committee webpage, and copies are available to the public. The report provides background information on the district's proposal. This includes receipt of the notice alleging the potential California Voting Rights Act violation and the district's subsequent initiation of transition to bi-trustee area elections. It also describes the district's process, including the required pre-map and post-map public hearings. The report further summarizes the applicable legal framework, including the California Voting Rights Act and the Fair Maps Act. These laws require, among other things, substantially equal populations across trustee areas, compliance with federal and state voting right laws, and consideration of criteria such as communities of interest and geographic continuity. The district's adopted map reflects total population deviation within acceptable legal limits and includes 4 majority Latino trustee areas based on citizen voting age population data. The county committee is required to hold at least 1 public hearing within the boundaries of the district. In the conclusion of the hearing, the county committee will consider the record before it and take action to approve or disapprove the proposal. If approved, the county committee may adopt a resolution that constitutes an order of election. Alternatively, if the resolution includes a declaration that the change is in furtherance of the California Voting Rights Act, the transition to bi-trustee area elections may take effect upon adoption without submission to the voters. In that case, the transition would apply to elections occurring at least 125 days after adoption. In summary, the La Habra City School District is requesting approval to establish 5 trustee areas under map scenario 2 and to transition from at-large to bi-trustee area elections beginning with the November 2026 election cycle. OC staff has prepared a draft resolution for the County Committee's consideration, which was included in the agenda materials. Following the public hearing, the County Committee discussion, the County Committee will take action on the proposed resolution. And this concludes the staff report. Thank you.
Before we begin the public hearing, I will review the format of the public hearing as outlined by the committee, County Committee bylaws. First, representatives of the La Habra City School District will have up to 15 minutes to present. Next, we will receive public comments for a total of 30 minutes. Following public comment, there will be time for rebuttals. District representatives will have up to 5 minutes, followed by up to 5 minutes for rebuttal for members of the public. Please note that members of the public wishing to offer rebuttal comments must submit a new comment card. Speakers will be called in the order the cards are received. After the rebuttals, the county committee members will have the opportunity to ask questions before the public hearing is closed. It is now 6:15 p.m. and I hereby open the public hearing to receive testimony from the La Habra City School District and public comment regarding La Habra City School District's proposal for adopting a trustee area map and to adopt by trustee area elections. Will the representatives of La Habra City School District please come to the podium? Please introduce yourself, and as a reminder, you will have a maximum of 15 minutes, so please mind the timer. Thank you.
Good evening, members of the County Committee. Thank you for inviting the La Habra City School District tonight. I am Mario Carlos, the superintendent here in the La Habra City School District. With us tonight, we have our former president, Adam Rogers, currently on our board as well. Our from Parker and Colbert, Michael Toy, our legal counsel. And we also have on Zoom, it's gonna be Zach Warden from Power School. And I just want to say thank you to our tech team, Andrew, Ron, and David, for assisting us with all the setup tonight. So I am going to pass it over to Zach Warden from Power School to provide an overview of the process undertaken by our Board of Education.
And quick mic check in the room, and I get a confirmation you guys can hear me and see the presentation?
Yes.
Good. Wonderful. Great. Good evening, members of the County Committee. Thank you for inviting me here. My name is Zach Worthen. I'm the Solution Director for the Predictive Enrollment Analytics Solution here at Power School. We're going to walk you through our portion of the trustee boundary process. Not going to spend too much time given the timing. Power School is an ed tech service provider and our subset of it, Predictive Enrollment Analytics, work with districts around the country and California on a variety of different demographic solutions that help school districts answer a lot of their concerns and questions, including today and historically many examples of working with districts in the state of California to reset their bi-trustee voting areas. Again, as I said, my name is Zach Worthen, I'm the Solution Director here, and I have worked on several of these projects, including at Cupertino USD and Sequoia Union High School District. Some of this information will obviously be quite familiar to the County Committee, but to elucidate the public, why we draw the trustee area boundaries under AB 182, the California Voting Rights Act, that we are attempting to rectify the prohibition of using district-based elections if that political subdivision would impair the ability of a protected class. The context within LHCSD is that the five members of the Board of Ed are currently elected at large. Those trustee voting areas have no bearing on school attendance or enrollment eligibility. And once created by the Board of Ed, those trustees must reside in the zone, and residents of those areas will vote for slated candidates in that specific voting area as laid out under the staff report. Population info relevant to LHCSD is, of course, that state law requires trustee areas be nearly equal in population. That's usually accepted as a variance, plus or minus 10%. Which on a 51,600 student boundary would be about 1,000 resident variation in acceptable persons. And those five equal areas then would contain roughly 10,320 persons each. When we go about drawing those trustee boundaries, there are certain requirements and other allowable factors that we may consider. We are using Power School's predictive enrollment analytics mapping tool and demographic data provided to us both by the school district and the U.S. Census Bureau to identify this. Those requirements, as we said, are the nearly equal number of inhabitants, compliance with those voting rights acts, and where possible, the creation of those majority-minority areas as protected classes. There are some other allowable considerations, including contiguousness, divisions of community interest, geographic municipal boundaries, and identifiable and understandable man-made and geographic features, as well as compactness. As we are LHCSD's demographer of record, consultants working with the La Habra City leadership and staff generated two distinct scenarios, which were ultimately brought to the board, which are demographically and mathematically balanced, and do create those trustee areas that allow for the election of trustees in compliance with California and federal law. I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Carlos to provide an overview of the timeline and community outreach for the process undertaken by the Board of Education to shift to bi-trustee area elections.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. that bothering anybody?
No.
It's okay?
I'm okay.
You okay?
Good.
We'll add that in a minute there for you.
Thank you, Zach. So on the screens, you can see the timeline. On May 9th, 2024, the Board of Education adoption of resolution for compliance with the CBRA. And then going through the dates, June 13th, June 27th, the public hearing for community input for MAP development. We also had September 11th, 2025, public hearing, community input on draft maps, leading us into October, where we had the public hearing, community input on draft maps, and selection of final map. Regarding community outreach efforts, information was provided to the community and to the exclusive representatives for our bargaining units, our LHEA and CSEA teams. Public notices were posted and emailed to all of our school sites and prominently posted on the district's web sites and pages. The public hearings were promoted on the district website with maps, public notices, and through dedicated district web pages as well, and translated into Spanish and Korean, our majority of our languages here in the Harbor City. I will now turn the presentation over back to Zach. Mr. Warden will summarize the two maps considered by the board and the demographics of the district and the information underlying each of the draft maps. Mr. Warden.
Thank you. As a quick note, I obviously can't see the timer in the room. If you wouldn't mind, if we are butting up on designated time, I would appreciate a verbal note of that. Thank you for accommodating the Zoom attendance. As we do walk through these, we're going to spend the next several slides walking through the actual scenarios presented to the board and community to look at both the visuals of the maps up on the slides. We will then look at the complete population information provided by the U.S. Census Bureau, and then further broken down by that citizen voting age population within each of the maps. Again, two fully articulated and complete scenarios were presented to the board and community for choice and ratification between them. What we're looking at right now is the visual of those maps. Again, this is averting and satisfying all of our conditions we might establish about geographic compactness and continuity, that sort of natural nature of those boundaries, as well as where possible, the ways in which we followed sort of community boundaries, largely within Loudoun City School District as defined by major streets, although there are some sort of commercial areas that were used as sort of dividing lines between differentiated boundaries. Moving on from the visuals of the maps, again, the data presented here is the total population, as identified by proposed trustee area. The target of those is, again, as we said, under the U.S. Census Bureau count, 10,320 residents, an allowable variance of up to 1,000. We can see those variances highlighted here. All of those variances could be followed well under the acceptable standards defined by the Voting Rights Act. And further on, we can see the actual population and the percentage of each of those protected classes, here defined as racial and ethnic identification for each of those subcommunities and identified by each boundary area. I'm not going to read out every single one of these boundaries. I would like to point out that obviously, if you have a chance to read through these, the Hispanic and Latino identified population in the community is a notable majority within it, and the largest protected class plurality within that would be our Asian population. You may note that given the non-homogeneous nature, of course, of our residents within the Harbor City School District, there is a variance of those populations in all of our scenarios presented. The majority of our bi-trustee area trustee proposals did create at least three majority-minority scenarios, and both of the final proposals presented to the school board created four majority Hispanic and Latino voting areas. As a quick aside, which we'll go through in just a moment, while there is a sizable portion of Asian residents within the La Habra City School District boundary, that population is not large enough to create any compact, geographically contiguous, majority Asian designated voters within any one area. What we can do, what we've done here, is look at identifying sensible pluralities of those voting blocks in by trustee areas, even if they do not represent a majority. Moving on from the total population, we can look at the citizen voting age population by race to again identify some of those similar patterns, but unique percentages among those. Here, identifying the same basic thread that was drawn out in our total population piece, but here breaking down by that citizen voting age, where again, within scenario one, we can see four majority-minority districts as defined by the Hispanic or Latino population and the Asian designation. Trustee, area one does have the largest percentage of Asian residents and voters, but again, both with citizen voting age and total residents, there was no way to create a minority Asian designation within that citizen voting age population or the population at large. Now, a lot of those caveats are going to be the same from high level designation. Of course, the numbers themselves matter quite a bit, but here we're looking at scenario two, which ultimately was the scenario that the Board of Education of Oaxaca City School District did end up adopting. And we can see again a map that fulfills those basic standards and strictures of geographical compactness, sensibleness, following major boundaries, et cetera. You know, what we try to do here is to create boundary maps that both intuitively to, you know, the human cognition and motor recognition look like they are intending to fulfill that boundary, and then of course meet those strictures that we set under those two different Voting Rights Act. Here we are looking again at the data chart for scenario two. Again, ultimately the scenario was adopted. This chart is read the same way. Variance, target enrollment, target resident population and variance presented in column four. Again, our largest variance is of under 300, which would represent about a 3% variance, of course, much under our 1,000 resident population variance, which is allowable under the law. And what we will see here is similar to our other pieces of information in scenario one, multiple majority minority districts. Here we're looking at the population. In this population, we do only have three districts that are majority Hispanic Latino. But our fifth trustee area is of, you know, 49.5% Hispanic and Latino residents. And as we move on to our citizen voting age population, what we will see is that trustee area five actually is a slightly higher voting age population of Hispanic and Latino residents, and hence does in the same situation as scenario one, with a better overall balance created for majority minority voting areas under both designations of CVAP and the overall population. What does that majority minority analysis look like? Well, as I sort of alluded to, consistent with that election code, our results do say that based on total population, the two largest protected classes within the Oaxaca City School District boundaries are Hispanic Latino, with nearly 60% of the district, and an Asian population of about 12%. CVAP figure estimates are, you know, again, representing all of those voting age citizens over the age of 18. Those numbers are slightly different, with about 51% of the community of voting age being Hispanic Latino and almost 16% being Asian. Based on that data, it is possible to draw for majority Hispanic Latino areas as described in the code for each map. Because it was possible to draw four of those areas, it's not possible to draw an Asian majority citizen voting age population area just because of where those residents live and other designations around compactness and geographic boundaries. The total population varies between those largest and smallest trustee areas is well under the allowable legal deviation. The variation is around 4.2 for scenario one and 4.7 for scenario two. Again, the Board of La Habra City School District, I believe, I believe on October 9th, adopted the boundary scenario two. Those new trustee boundaries did have certain requirements and those other allowable factors. The requirements, which of course, as we laid out, are met. We do have a nearly equal number of inhabitants. They are compliant with federal and California Voting Rights Act, and they did create four majority-minority areas as required. We did, again, consider contiguousness, avoiding division of communities of interest, sort of the natural corollaries of neighborhoods, attendance boundaries, et cetera, geographic municipal boundaries within the community, identifiable and understandable, respecting of man-made boundaries, and compactness. Trustee boundaries were also not drawn for the purposes of favoring or discriminating against an incumbent. We did not create any trustee area with the knowledge beforehand of where those trustees lived and followed.
Mr. Worthen, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. This is the chart you've already seen. This is the sequence of elections that lays out the trustee areas and when they will be up for election. It's laid out under the staff report. and finally, residences of those incumbent trustees. With that said, I want to turn the presentation back over to Dr. Carlos for conclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Warden. Our Board of Education has undertaken a very deliberate and methodical process in considering and adopting the change in election method. Before you tonight, the board engaged in a transparent process. The district has included opportunities for input from our community and on the trustee area maps under consideration. The district and the Board of Education respectfully request that the county committee approve the board's resolution seeking to establish trustee boundaries and to permit a trustee area voting method. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you. We will now receive public comments on the district's proposal. Melanie, have we received any speaker cards?
We have not received any speaker cards.
Okay. Since there are no public comments, we will also have no rebuttals. So we'll skip to agenda item 7B, numbers 3 and 4. We will proceed to item 7B, number 5, for questions from the county committee.
Where are we? Okay.
So,
got it.
Okay.
It's number 5.
Yeah, number 5. Okay. It's on bottom page, or middle of page 6.
Okay, that's
number 5.
Okay.
Number 5.
All righty. At this time, I would like to give the county committee members the opportunity to ask the district representatives any questions regarding the proposal. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, David.
So my question is to the district, but I have to address the district. Okay. This might also be a question to the OCDE, though.
That's fine. Just ask your question and the appropriate person will answer.
So slide number 18 talks about incumbent trustee residents. Wasn't that explained to us that considering the incumbency's residencies and developing the map was deemed through a judgment to be illegal?
We'll have our county attorney address that, please.
Maybe we can start by asking the district to explain how they came up with their sequence of elections, because it's not clear to me from looking at the materials if the information related to where their incumbents reside is was a factor that they considered in determining the sequence of elections, as opposed to criteria for developing the trustee area map boundaries.
Okay, so in that explanation, perhaps they could explain, was this map with the incumbency's locations discussed by the board when developing the two options of the map?
No, and I can speak to that. Trustee areas were developed before any incumbent trustee residences were shared with me. These maps were developed entirely independent of trustee area addresses or residents. These were mapped after the fact for informational purposes and played no role in the creation of the trustee area boundaries themselves.
Thank you. Did you have something you wanted to add, or is that it? The attorney?
No,
so we're good. Okay. Are there any other questions?
I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
To the district about the process, and I don't know if this is picking me up, if I could.
Kathy, pull it closer to you. There you go. It's on.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. It was noted that there were no public comments. Did you have meetings where there were public members or district employees, just stakeholders present?
Well, I can answer that.
Please.
Yes, Mike Toy with the District Review Council. The initial public hearings before we did the draft maps, we did the public outreach, but we had no public numbers showed up. During the public hearings in September, October, they were in fact during board meetings, and the public hearings were held within the board meeting. So whoever showed up at the board meeting was there during the time of the public hearing. And at in both, all four of the public hearings, we had no public comments. My experience is once you tell the public that we are not redrawing your school attendance boundaries, everybody has a sigh of relief and they go on and watch the World Series or whatever. That's just kind of the way it is.
I understand. Is there any record or any notation of what the attendance was at those board meetings where those discussions were?
I believe we do have attendance figures for both the public hearings in September and October of this year. I don't know if we have any official record of who might have showed up in 2024. I will tell you that at all four hearings, the initial attorney who sent us the nasty CBRA letter did acknowledge receipt of all the materials, and the attorney had absolutely no comment during all four of those public comment periods.
Okay, so during all four of the public comment periods, there were
absolutely no comments.
No comments?
Yes.
And no real evidence of public presence at those hearings?
Not officially, except for the two public hearings which were held within the board meetings. I'm sure we have records of who showed up at those public hearings.
Would you mind just telling us again the different ways you communicated to the public?
I'll let Mario
handle that.
So we could go back to slide.
Slide six.
So we held many different types of meetings with our stakeholders, community partners. So that included our PTAs as well as our PAC committees for our district advisory committees, meetings with our staffs just to let them know for inputs. And so you can take a look at just the different types of meetings. No, that's how we drew the boundaries. It's a different slide number eight. Slide eight. Andrew, is that?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
All right, perfect. Yeah, and so also putting it on our website. And during the time of our meetings, when it was held during the school board meeting, there were different families in the audience. We always have presentations from our school sites. And so there are family members, students, staff that are present during those meetings.
Does anyone else have any questions? Yes.
In looking at that, so did you have meetings in, which I think I'm saying that you did, in the specific areas?
Yes.
So each area had
in the trustee areas, you mean?
Yes.
No.
So you did not?
No, there were not. We did not hold any public hearings at each of the five areas during those four. The four public hearings we had were at the district office, not at any of the individual. We did not have the trustee areas drawn at the time in order to move the meeting to a particular trustee area.
But did you have it to where, like, you know that you have schools that are west or schools that are east, or so, you know, you have outlying areas? Did you have any information, like, at the one end of your district the middle of your district and the other end, like something like that is
what. When Mario said that we sent out the public notices, each of those committees and each of those school sites are within the trustee area boundaries. We did not target the five individual trustee areas specifically.
No, I understand. I was kind of that, but I was also looking more for just areas, you know, rather than only at district. Did you expand into any of your outline areas?
Right. Not for the public hearings, but for the notices we did distribute.
Okay, for the notices you did with public hearings on site or community meetings, you did not.
Correct.
Okay, and then I just was curious, going along with, I understand there's no public comments. Did you have any type of emails, electronic correspondence, or anything that you kept track of? Did you receive anything electronically?
We did notify at each of the four public hearings that we needed to put into the record if we had received public comments.
So you did receive public
comments? No, we did not.
You did not?
Yeah, we expected to receive public comments, and we would have included it in the record if we had
even received. Electronically?
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Marilyn, then Lauren.
I just have a comment. I think, well, for one thing, this is a very compact community. I mean, you're talking about the need to possibly have it. I mean, I live in the area. I feel like the Hopper City School District is a very compact community. I think the absence of public interest might indicate that the demand came from someone outside of the district. It's not like people here were clamoring because they didn't like the way things were going. So I think you need to look at the atmosphere in which this is taking place, and it's taking place because of the legality. So anyway, just in defense of what you've done, which is very complete and fine, but I think you have to look at the community and the reasons for that.
I certainly agree.
That answered my question.
It's good to hear from someone who lives in the area, because they certainly reached out to every single school and all the different groups associated with each school.
And there was no conversation. I mean, I didn't hear anyone saying at PCA or anything, you know, well, we've got to have trust here. Probably just the opposite.
Yeah. Well, like you said earlier, usually once people know it's not about attendance boundaries,
it's true.
They're pretty happy, by and large. Yes, Paulette.
It looks like they followed all the legal requirements that were set forth and did all the hearings that they were required to do, and appropriately notifying the people that live in La Habra. So the fact that nobody did an electronic letter or in-person letter indicates that they were somewhat fine with it. And but all of the items that the district needed to do, they did completely.
Any other questions or comments?
So I have two. I'll just give one and then go back. So my next question is, it looks like two maps were considered, which when considering alternatives is the ultimate minimum. Can you explain why there were only two maps considered?
Two maps were presented to the school board for final consideration. Working with staff and committees, we certainly looked at other options. These were the two that were identified as the most compliant. And to be completely frank, given the compactness of the community, the additional scenarios that were looked at were either non-geographically compact, did not create the majority-minority district required, or what I would sort of call a different distinction without a difference, in that we were made work in different trustee areas that didn't functionally represent different communities within those trustee areas. So again, certainly in our process of working with district staff, we mooted other potential scenarios, and these were the two that, given the compactness of the community, the five trustee voting area, and the demography of the community, best represented any realistic differentiation between those possible options.
So more than two were considered, these were the final two. Thank you.
Correct.
Kathy?
Mark, this is related to my earlier questions, and that is you mentioned during the responses to the questions that the community presence or the community meetings were held sort of before the maps were developed. Were there any community meetings held after the maps were developed, and were they put in front of the community to observe and understand, ask questions if they had it?
Well, I presented,
go ahead, Jack.
I was going to say, on September 11th, we did present to the board as an informational session, which was also a public meeting held during open board session, where those draft maps were presented for the first time, giving the board and community approximately a month to consider those maps before the final selections of those maps were made. So yes, the September 11th public hearing did present draft maps to the community as an informational note during live or during open board session for consideration prior to board selection.
Okay, so from September to October, that's when they were available for inspection by the public?
Correct.
Right. And no comments? Okay, thank you.
David, do you have another question?
This one is regarding sequencing. So when I look at the difference between scenario one and scenario two maps, I would agree that scenario two is better. And the reason is, it's best to prop up the second and third largest segments somehow, which were Asian and white, where Hispanic is at least 65% or greater in three of the different areas. Asian is, like Hispanic, a protected group in California, right? So my question is that is not the map, it's the sequencing. Those who are in the majority of 65% or greater get to have their elections first, all three of them. And those who were propped up properly in Area 2, but still in minorities, one of which is a protected class, both got pushed down to where they are not going to have the opportunity for their elections for an additional 2 years, which doesn't feel equitable based on the way I've described it. Maybe you could describe it differently and let me know what the board was thinking when they had the other two that they were trying to prop up hold an additional 2 years before they have their opportunity for election.
And I'll defer to Dr. Carlos and council for comments on the sequencing.
Once again, Mike Choi, I think when we were doing the sequencing, we wanted to have, we knew we had to have an immediate election for an unrepresented district because there was no incumbent there. So we needed to have one of the seats in November of 26 for a trustee area with no incumbent. And then I believe we looked at, since the other four areas already had an incumbent representing those particular areas, it just so happened that two of the incumbents would need to run in 26, and two of the incumbents had to run in 28. And I will say in both scenarios, we had two incumbents living in one area. So we believe that's clearly a non-discriminatory outcome. If in both scenarios, you have two incumbents living in one trustee area. I don't know if that answered your question. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you for that explanation. So it seems to me that the first part of your explanation makes a lot of sense to me. That if an area has no representative, maybe they should be among the first three to go. The second, latter half, and this is just my opinion, doesn't make sense to me because everyone was elected at large. They were not elected only by their 1/5 area. And I think the spirit of the law is to have those that are in minority situation, especially a protected class situation, have their opportunity. So I would disagree, at least with the Asian one, that it would be pushed to last. regardless of where people live. Because I don't think the emphasis should be on the convenience of five trustees over the equity of what are the needs of a protected class in the community.
Well, thank you.
I just want to make sure that I'm understanding correctly. Areas 2, 3, and 4 are the ones that would be in 2026, that's correct? And area 1 and 5 would be in 2028. And having areas 2, 3, and 4 in 2026, that's three of the minority majority areas.
The most significant, yes.
Yeah, the three as far as Latina goes, but three minority majority areas, correct?
I don't remember. It's been September.
That is correct.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the demos here. I just want to make sure I wasn't missing a line or something.
If you look at the screen, trustee areas 2, 3, and 4 are all majority-minority voting areas, both by CVAP and by overall representation. Trustee area 1, which is in the southwest corner of the map, if I can pull that back up, is the largest Asian representation.
Correct. It's not a majority minority.
Correct. It's a plurality of Korean, largely Korean representation in the dark blue in the bottom left of the map up on the boundary now. As you can see, 2, 3, and 4 identified for 2026. 2028 are identified on trustee areas 1 and 5 in the north, east, and southwest of the boundary.
Right. Okay, and for our attorneys at OCBE, our charge for the California Voting Rights Act is to try to create a minority-majority voting area, trustee area, correct? That's our main charge.
As of yesterday.
Pardon me?
Yeah, well.
Today may change.
Yeah, as of today.
I realize things might be in flux because of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, but based on our law here in California, right now today, until we hear differently, the charge is to work to develop minority-majority area.
Correct.
Not in terms of which minority, just a minority as defined by our state in terms of demographics. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that the CPC
does. And to be clear, the area 2 is majority-minority. Not each individual protected class, but it's a majority. All district representations are majority-minority districts.
Right. Okay.
Not isolated by protected class, but in aggregate.
Right. Okay. So then the sequencing does meet that also. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to confirm that when I put my finger across and tracked across and looked at the percentages, I wasn't picking up the wrong line. Okay. So appreciate that. Clarification on it. Does anyone have any other questions? No more questions? Okay. Sure.
All right, so just wrapping up the part of the sequence, I believe that you're right, Chairperson, that map 2 or scenario 2 does the best in creating and propping up a majority for a minority where possible in all areas. I do feel, though, that by giving the first three to Latino and pushing out Asian to latter period, in my opinion, was not following the spirit of the law, although it might follow the letter of the law.
We will have discussion after we close the public hearing.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. With no more questions from the county committee, this concludes the public hearing. At the time of 7:53 p.m.
6:53 p.m.
Pardon.
It was fast.
You're a lot longer. Thank you for the correction. Okay.
Bang your gavel.
At this time, I would like to open this. Oh, I did bang one.
Oh, I missed it. Oh, okay. Good.
Okay. At this time, I would like to open this meeting for the members to discuss the La Habra City School District's proposal. And based on their, let's have our discussion. And based on this discussion, to open it, I would like to have a motion on the County Committee's resolution to adopt La Habra City School District's trustee area map and by trustee area elections. for the La Habra City School District.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Can you repeat the first and second, please? Sorry.
Lauren and Marilyn.
Thank you.
A motion is made and seconded. Now we can go to the discussion. We know where David's coming from on this with he's fine with the map, but on the question of sequencing, is there any other discussion, comments, or discussion?
I have a process question. How did you do this? Our motion has approval of the map and the sequence in one motion?
Yes.
Is there a need to separate those two actions?
No.
No?
It's one.
Isn't it one resolution?
If I understand correctly, we can't amend the motion. No.
We are either approved or don't approve.
Correct.
We cannot start redoing the map.
That's right.
Okay. Right. Okay.
That either we accept it all or we say,
no,
this part we're not accepting, so we deny it and they have to go back to the drawing board. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, are there any other questions or discussion? No? Okay. A motion has been made and seconded with no further discussion. Melanie, will you please conduct a roll call vote? And this is a vote to approve both the map and the sequence.
Chair Susie Swartz?
Aye.
Vice Chair David Johnson?
No.
Member Sheila Benneke is absent. Member Lauren Brooks?
Aye.
Member Marilyn Bucci?
Aye.
Member Paulette Chafee?
Aye.
Member Jackie Philbeck?
Aye.
Member Karen Freeman is absent. Member Kathleen Hurd?
Aye.
Member Kathy Moffitt?
Aye.
Member Randy Vita?
Aye.
Eight to one.
Okay. The motion carries 8-1 with no extension. All right. This is a time for public comments for matters not on the agenda. Do we have any members of the public present who wish to provide comments on any matter not on the agenda?
No, we do not.
We don't. Okie dokie. Seeing none, then that takes us to our next meeting. Mr. Marinade, could you please update us on the status of future meetings?
We don't have any future meetings planned at this time.
Okay. With no other business on the agenda for the county committee, is there a motion please to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
That's Paulette and Lauren.
You deserved one.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstains? The motion carries. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting time. Adjourned at.
Oh, God.
6:57.
6:57.
Meeting adjourned at
6:58
p.m.
Got it.
For now.
I just went for the 7 too. I'm like, oh, it's 7 something.
You snuck it in.